Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. Inflation is hovering around 7 or 8%. The cost of gas is going through the roof. You want to buy something? You're going to be paying more. It is no different for Coburg Police, or any other police force for that matter. As we go into November, it is budget time. You're going to hear a lot about spending money with all the various levels of government and agencies bringing forward their plans. Chief Paul Vandegraaff says he wants public input into the operational budget. You have until November 11th to voice your concerns. But first, you might want to hear where your money's going. Here is that interview. I'm so pleased to have with me today the Chief of the Coburg Police, Paul Vandegraaff. Welcome back to Consider This.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Looking at the overall budget, it's estimated that it's just more than $10 million. And the operational budget is slightly under $7
million. Oftentimes, people look at the financial information return of the FIR report, and they say, oh, geez, Coburg is really expensive compared to others. Well, what I did in presentation, and I'll remind council again when we present before council, is that what we should really be measuring is the $6 million or $6.2 million, whatever it is, from the, this is going back to 2020, so the 6.9, if you will, now. You should compare that to the other municipalities of like size instead of the other. So when you look at our tiered policing, you look at our different types of recoveries, you look at some of the different things that we do in our organization, it creates a little bit of a misnomer. So for instance, the FIR is the entire cost of policing. I get it. And it's about $10 million. That's what the cost of the Coburg Police Service is. However, a good chunk of that is all of those great people who work over at our corporate services division. So we charge clients a certain amount, we get money in, and that net revenue is what we use to offset capital. So in that $10 million is the cost of all of their staff hours. However, we draw that directly from the gross revenue. So it's not really a cost, if you will, to the taxpayer. So really, when we're talking about our budget this year, what I like to remind people is that the ask is for 3.89% increase over last year, and it's a $259,000 is what it is. And when we look at the non-discretionary spending, in other words, contractual agreements with three different unions, pay increases, and members who are going through their various promotional grids as per the collective agreement, the non-discretionary amount is 2.5%. So really what we're talking about is an $88,000 increase or 1.34%. And I think that's really important to draw, is that we're not just throwing and piling things on. And we're really doing everything we can to be innovative and a partner with the municipality in the cost of policing.
So you also have removed the court security costs and you've reduced the police board budget to get to your goal. And I guess I wanted to try and figure out what's going on there. What's actually happening with the court security and with the police board so that you get it down to this 4%?
Sure. So again, we have to look at our entire budget and you have to look at all of the recoveries. We've been really successful in accomplishing about $500,000 in recoveries from provincial funding, which provides some services that the town has come to enjoy. So the police services budget is the police services board budget is the easiest one to describe. Council has made a decision not to fund the honorariums for the council appointees to the board. So typically and historically, if you will, in Coburg, the board has had the mayor and a counselor or the coordinator of protection services. That reduction is based on a motion of council to incorporate that honorarium into their set salary as counselor or mayor. So that is that's the reduction at the police services board level. And then the court security, What we have been doing over the last few years is we've been really looking at what it is we can provide that is fair to the taxpayers in Coburg. So again, if the budget numbers weren't confusing, this will be more confusing. The court security responsibility falls in Ontario to the police jurisdiction. So whatever municipality has the court, it also has the responsibility for the court. Our court here in Coburg is quite unique in that we have obviously the provincial court as we understand it and the high court as we understand it, but it also has the provincial offenses court, which is typically not in other court buildings. That's the tickets, that's the county responsibility, if you will, but that all sits within the same building. And I do have a court security responsibility. And this is really unique, and I made this comment at the budget presentation. It's a really unique circumstance because the Ministry of Solicitor General provides funding equally or proportionally divided to all police services that have security requirements. And that provincial upload, I guess that's what that is, that provincial funding is not enough to meet the needs of a different ministry's demands. So the Ministry of Attorney General runs the courts, the judges, justices, court, crown attorneys and the like. So they tend to set what the security portfolio will look like. And that's where we run into discord. So traditionally, years gone by, we kind of gave, and then the board and their due diligence said, we're not doing that anymore. We're gonna start providing a security at a level that we can afford. So that reduction is really what it is, what we will be spending to provide security that is both adequate and effective, that will keep the people safe and keep my people safe and meets the needs of the courts. And COVID has realized that there's a fair amount of virtual courts gonna probably continue, bail hearings for one. But there's still some as we come out of this pandemic or back into the pandemic, whichever way you look at it, that's where we see obviously necessary reductions.
What other factors are contributing to the fiscal pressures that the police are facing?
Yeah, listen, this is not an easy conversation. This is in fact a ethically and a moral conflict. So in policing in 2016, thankfully, the government of the day passed the presumptive legislation for post-traumatic stress disorder or occupational stress injuries. And that's really important. The men and women who serve our province and our community deserve when they need care and assistance in managing an occupational stress injury, they need to know that they don't have to jump through 15,000 hoops. And thankfully in 2016, a new rule was created. Unfortunately, what that has created is that has created a gap now where the systems in place for our members are not ready, nor are they built for this. I'm a very outspoken police leader in Ontario about the fact that the WSIB system that was created to manage bad backs, bad arms, bad necks is very functional and it works really well and it's very successful. However, using the same systems to manage a psychological trauma was a mistake. I've penned a resolution at the Ontario Association of Chiefs of Police, and in that I've asked that all of the parties, police unions, police leaders, boards, Associated Municipalities of Ontario, the Province of Ontario, Ministry of Labour, all come together to rethink this. What's happening across Ontario is, and I'm not blaming the members, these people have served with distinction and they're hurt, who can't come to work. And what happens is they're on our books for some proportionality and we cannot provide the policing service required. So we have to hire to replace. So you're kind of like doubling in. And some of these WSIB claims extend to 7 and 8 years. So what happens is you end up with a WSIB surcharge. Ours is north of $100,000. And that's what that $88,000 is. That $88,000 is really looking for two new officers to augment the policing services. And we've changed our policing service delivery to a degree. We don't have a school response officer anymore. We'll have MHART, we'll have HARP, but we are delivering frontline service providing first and foremost Our special constables, our tiered policing, our auxiliaries, everything's still going on. We're really fortunate here in Coburg. We're going to be doing great things. But that impact of absenteeism. So when I was young and foolish on the road, you're talking like absenteeism rates between 3% and 7%. And that's your parental leaves, your maternity leaves, your bad backs, bad arms, bad everything else's. Now in policing across the province of Ontario, police services are managing anywhere from 20 to 30% absenteeism. And these absenteeisms are long hauls. These are not quick fixes. These are prolonged cases. So what we're saying is the economics of policing has to look at what does this look like? We want to support our members, but to what degree? And that's a big impact. And that's a big impact that every chief is looking at. I'm very proud of our team, Roger Ramkison and the deputy chief for driving this budget. I think it's a fair budget. I think it's a reasonable budget. A lot of our peers, and Rob, you're a good journalist. I know you'll look into this, but a lot of my peers are north of 7. Again, really a lot of it is this board was really proactive about 3 years ago when I presented this WSIB matter to them, and they allowed me to replace people who were off long-term. And a lot of police services now are just getting into that positioning and that business practice. So it's not uncommon for my peer group to hear 11%, 9%, 10%. The quick and easy answer is that chief likes to spend a bunch of money and he doesn't do anything. Like, that's the easy answer and I'm fine. And that's the great thing about creating a budget that's fair and open, putting it in front of the community, not once in that we did it in front of the board, not twice in that the board's going to approve it, not three times in that council's going to hear the presentation, but four times the community is going to have input, comments, and opportunities to discuss the police budget.
When you were describing the situation and the pressures you face, it sounds a lot like a conversation we had about overtime not too long ago and some of the pressures. What is the relationship between what we just discussed and that previous conversation about overtime, and how do those two pieces fit together?
Yeah, the great thing about here in Coburg, since my tenure as chief, I really strive to have a very amicable and professional relationship with the police association here in town. And they represent the hearts and souls of our membership. We have minimum staffing requirements, which the community should have and should expect and should want. And my members deliver exemplary service each and every day they put the uniform on. So our minimums are minimums. So when we don't meet minimums because people are sick or another long-term absence or we're at holidays or other contractual leave opportunities, people are coming in on overtime. So what we've done to try to address that overage is we've gone with that front line delivery model first, in that we're really gonna leverage our tiered policing for some of the other things. But the surplus isn't there. My strategic vision sees a traffic specialist to do traffic enforcement and education, sees a school response officer, it sees a village, I call it the village constable, that downtown presence, that person, that one face and name that everybody knows in the downtown core. Those are all nice to haves. And this budget is not about nice to haves. This budget is about providing the level of policing service delivery that AI as chief can be proud about and put my head on my pillow with some semblance of calmness and meets the needs, I shouldn't say that, exceeds the needs that the community expects of us.
What role has inflation played in the budget process?
Where we get hit the most is gas and obviously supply chain issues around vehicles and some of those more dispensable items. So like everybody else, we buy hand cleaner, we buy masks, we buy different perishable items. Everybody in town's paying more, we're paying more. Where people are paying more for gas, we're paying more for gas. Where everyone's paying more for hydro, we're paying more for hydro.
Well, let's talk about that, because I looked at the gas budget and it's gone up, since 2020, it's gone up nearly double. It's I think it's $120,000 you budget for it this year. That's an incredible amount of money. How do you respond to something like that? I mean, is there any way that you get a better deal or?
Yeah, so we are very fortunate. Like I've said 1,000 times in different conversations we've had, Rob, we're a great partner with the municipality. So we do buy our, we get our gas. We don't, unless we're traveling, we get our gas at the public works yard. So whatever bulk rate the municipality gets, we get. And we're assessed that fee right from the municipality. So, so that's an easy one in that sense. But how do we address it? Well, we have a hybrid vehicle. The one vehicle that's still coming, we haven't heard, is hybrid. So that's going to reduce our cost. We have an electric vehicle that our crime prevention and or court security will use to and from the court, not to transport prisoners. So we're doing it that way. The next two vehicles that are due to arrive early, hopefully in 2023, are going to be hybrid. The ones that are going to come later in that year, one of which is going to be hybrid. Again, I got to buy cars to fit the need of every size officer. If it's Constable Bagley at 7 feet plus, or Paul, who's not 7 feet plus, I got to have cars that fit everybody. And then we have supply chain issues and what it is, what we can get, when we can get them. So we are looking at hybrid opportunities. I work with, as you know, the Northumberland Electric Vehicle Society, and they would love me to have electric vehicles in every size and every, like they do in Arizona or like they do in the Midwest of the U.S., but the Provincial Act, the Police Services Act of Ontario, says what kind of cars are accessible to us as frontline policing, and right now there is no total electric vehicle available, and then that comes with a whole different set of conversations, but we are trying to address it that way. We don't push cars around unnecessarily, at the same time, we do have a requirement to be mobile in the community. Our cars run 24/7, 365, so it's going to burn more gas. And just like everybody, me included, are complaining, like I've never had that dream truck until I got the dream truck. And then typical to me, 2 weeks later, the prices go to over $2 a liter. And that truck sits all the time now. But we deal with it like we can. The other issue I neglected to mention is liability insurance. I don't know about everybody else, but liability insurance across Ontario has shot up. You have to call insurance actuaries to understand why, but our insurance has gone up as well. So these are fixed rates. And that's why I say about the discretionary, non-discretionary. The collective agreement says that every member is getting a 2.25% increase this year. That was a bargain deal 2 years ago. It's non-negotiable. They're going to get their raise. There are members who are fourth class constables, who are third class, who are second class, who are working their way up the grids, civilians who are working their way up the grids. Those are non-negotiable. Like they're going to get their pay raises as they're entitled.
When you look through the budget, there's no line items for things like the HARP program or the MHART program. What's the status of those two programs? I know that they're pretty important to this force.
Yeah, so they're built into our operations, into the weeds of the operation budgets. They're both there. So HARP, let's start with HARP. HARP is first to receive provincial funding for HARP over the next 3 years, fully funded. That's a fully funded police officer, grassroots, dealing with homelessness, addictions, the response. So we've just announced to Jocelyn, we haven't done the press on it yet, but she's just kind of getting her feet wet. Jocelyn Hiltz is going to be moving into that role for us. We're really excited for that opportunity. We've got Forecast coming on side. We've got Transition House coming on side, and addictions counselor who want to come on side to really work with Jocelyn in that role. And that's fully funded. It's in the budget and it's no cost to the taxpayer. Every cent is coming from the province of Ontario for the next 3 years. And MHART is a great partnership we have with our hospital and the LIN. And that person is also fully funded. We're moving some people around in the organization. I'm proud to say that Cindy Reeves will be moving into that role, and she'll provide tremendous support to our community. We'll see HARP and MHARP kind of offsetting each other, kind of extending their typical hours of work a little bit, some evening work, and see where it fits, and really building partnerships. So they're in our budget. They're the only things that are not frontline. Like these are those, and they're so important. They're so important to the success of our police service and our community.
Is there any pressure from the town staff or even the politicians who were previously on council in terms of targets for increases? I know that it's quite often behind closed doors, staff will look at each other and say, here's the target we want everybody to hit with their increases. Are you facing any of those pressures?
No, because I didn't wait for the new council to be elected. So the board wanted the budget done. That was they saw it as their mandate. They saw it was their responsibility to get this started and get this done before their term ended. So obviously council will have goals and they'll have targets and that's fine. And I'll do my best. And I've always been my belief, maybe others will disagree, but I firmly believe that I've always been a strong partner with the municipality and the town in trying to work collectively for the common good of every Coburgian. And I am, and no, I haven't got those goals. At the end of the day, you saw my numbers. Anything under that non-discretionary increase is a pie in the sky dream. The only way to achieve anything below that is a service reduction. And then there are all sorts of implications to service reductions. And those conversations are they're not secret, but I've had many conversations with members of the community because they feel, they think, they understand that. And once I explain the Police Services Act of Ontario, the adequacy effectiveness regulation, and some of our constraints and what we're doing, generally people walk away. They may not like it, they still may not be happy about it, but they walk away understanding.
So if I have a listener who wants to say something or make a comment, where do we go from here, I guess?
The press release, I'm just going to grab it to make sure I don't misquote it. But my understanding is that we're still looking for all comments and questions to come to Roger Ramkison here at the Coburg Police Service. My email is pretty easy to get, so feel free to send it to me or to the board. They'll get it to Roger. We'll get you those answers. Also, you can go info@coburgpolice.com, and that's our general email address, and we'll get that. And again, Rob, I don't ever shy away from this. 289-251-3476. It's my cell phone number. I answer it every day of the week, regardless of the day, and feel free to reach out to me, and we'll create the opportunity for anybody to sit down with a member of the board or with our CFO.
Chief Paul Van de Graaff, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thanks, Rob.
That was Paul Van de Graaff, Chief of the Coburg Police Force. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.